Hello, and welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Luke 12:27 states, "Look at how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Our mission here is to share stories from men and women that can help you learn how to stop laboring or striving after what you want to accomplish, but rather to trust in your heavenly Creator to guide you in your everyday life. If He has a plan for you, He will make a way. All He wants is our daily yes to Him and for us to stop worrying about what tomorrow will bring. If we can do that, then we, as children made in His image, can be dressed in even grander splendor than the beautiful wildflowers of the field. I'm your host, Lydia Summer, and I'm so glad you're here today. Before we begin, I want to remind y'all to make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you wouldn't mind, please rate and review Dress in Splendor wherever you listen to podcasts. I would love to be able to share more episodes like these where we highlight some incredible testimonies so more people can find them. And today on the show, we have the wonderful author Natasha Smith as our guest. Natasha is here to talk about her new book, Can You Just Sit With Me? A wonderful tool for those who have ever experienced or are currently experiencing grief. Natasha and I both hope that this will be an encouragement to you, and if you think that this conversation might also help someone else, please feel free to share. May this be a blessing to anyone who hears it. Welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Let's get started. Natasha, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Hey, Lydia. Thanks so much for having me.
I could not tell you how thrilled I was to have you join my show. I saw your book as with the InterVarsity Press, like catalogs and stuff like that. And first of all, the cover is just stunning. I love it so much. But the context and the content of the book is something I think is going to help a lot of people. With your book is called Can You Just Sit With Me, which I just thought was so beautiful, the imagery of how we as friends can help those who are grieving, but those who are also grieving and processing all that. But before we talk about that, do you mind just sharing a little bit about yourself for those who may have, who don't know you?
Yeah. Thanks so much for that intro.
Yeah.
I am a wife and a mama of four, of a beautiful blended family, and I'm an engineer turned homeschooler. Going into our eighth year, I homeschooled the two littles, and the older two are now in high school with a senior. We have our first senior of our home this year. And we live in North Carolina, where the weather can be whatever you like or dislike, depending on the moment. And me and my family serve at our church. I'm a worship leader there.
Nice. Yeah. I sing also. I love just meeting other... I could tell that you were probably a singer because I feel like a lot of creative people are usually also a singer.
Me too.
Yeah, so it is funny. It's actually interesting. One time I worked for an opera company like a long time ago, and I was just working as an assistant to the director and all that stuff. And we sat in auditions for singers, and I met this one piano player a lot throughout the day. And he's like, "Are you a singer?" And I was like... Yeah. And he's like, "I could tell your personality is a singer." And I was like, cool. Didn't know we had a certain personality. So, but that's so cool. Thank you for sharing all that. I knew a little bit about your story through reading, and especially about being an engineer turned into homeschool mom. And so, but with your book, Can You Just Sit With Me? I kind of alluded a little bit about what it's about, but could you maybe go a little bit into why you started it, what's it about, and what your hope is for those who read it?
So Can You Just Sit With Me is really a book about coming alongside those who are grieving, those who are hurting, and giving them just the space and grace to grieve. Because in our world, our culture is so fast paced. And even though I feel like where we are in our world and our culture, that, you know, grief has become, you know, more literate, like people are talking about it a little bit more kind of in, along the lines of in the mental health space as well. Like we're talking about it more, but it's still not like at the forefront, like, you know, really everyone kind of, I don't want to say embracing it, but it being a thing.
Yeah.
and so I really, this book is, I hope that it will just help people to not feel so alone, and giving them language and insight to what they are feeling. Because I know when I was, you know, just in the throes of grief, I just didn't have language or really understood how I was feeling and why I was feeling certain ways while I was grieving. So just giving language and insight to the way people may be feeling, and then ultimately just pointing them to like the hope that we have in Christ.
Yeah. You do such a great job of describing grief, as you kind of mentioned, of like putting the language to it. There was a lot more to grief than I even knew until I picked up your book. And even in, I cannot remember what, we're not able to like get to all of it today, but there was just a lot of beautiful imagery that you used in there to be able to have me recognize too, of like, even for myself, like, oh, I'm grieving what during this season, which is what I do not have, what I'm hoping and anticipating for something to come, but I'm still stuck in where God has me. And it's not to say I don't trust him, but it's to say that I am sad. And it is like you said, there are different kinds of losses as you describe in your book, which I was very thankful what you shared with that, because I don't think that I felt it was okay for me myself to even grieve during this time, because I haven't really suffered like a personal loss in terms of a loved one in a while or things like that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you share about that in your book. And to be honest, I can even sense this in you as we talk. You have such a joy in you, which is so beautiful. And I thank you for, first of all, sharing your story. But I would say that there are a lot of people who would probably read your book and say that you had an excuse basically to leave the faith, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of, as I was reading your book, there are a lot of people who also use the phrase of like, God won't give you more than you can handle. Mm-hmm. And I think people are actually fighting back on that statement more and more now. But do you believe that this is true when it comes to experiencing grief? And if not, why?
Mm-hmm. I know that phrase gets thrown around a lot, and I can understand the sentiment. I think for one, just the language, or people not having the language to support people that are grieving. And so it, you know, when, you know, you come against someone or come in contact with someone and they're hurting, they're grieving, and you have this phrase that, you know, we just kind of throw around, you know, God won't give you more than you can handle. It's almost, you hope that it helps them to feel better, but it's really, I don't believe this statement, you know?
Yeah.
I don't believe it's true. I don't believe it's even biblical. I mean, we can just look at Job's story in the Bible, right? To know that this isn't true. You know, he lost his entire family and livelihood, everything, you know, for the most part, all in one day. And I don't think he would say, oh yeah, you know, God didn't give me more than I can handle. So I don't believe that statement. At all. You know, when I think of when we read and study our Bible, and it tells us that, you know, in this life we're going to have trouble, it doesn't tell us how much,
right?
How little, really. You know, we just are aware that, you know, it's not going to be just the easiest road,
right? And I think that there's it makes the verse of saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, actually a stronger, more applicable verse, and saying like, no, I can't handle this, but that's why I'm in Jesus. And if we're not, there is the possibility of going into a dark hole, as you describe. You kind of share in your book that in your grief, you don't want your questions to lead you into a black hole of no return. And so I was curious if some advice or some ways that you might be able to share and how we can keep pressing towards the light while we're in such a maybe even a really hard, tough grieving period.
Mm-hmm. I think like the short answer is to bring it all to Jesus, like to bring it all, to lay it all at the feet of Jesus is like the short answer. But what that really looks like is, you know, we have these array of emotions that come along with grief, and maybe based on culture or the church or your church background or whatever, you may not feel like those emotions are Christ-like, or, you know, or you can even, you can, you know, that you can have those emotions or that you can bring those to God, especially when we're talking about anger, you know, I'm not supposed to be angry at God. No, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like though, it's okay. And those emotions are okay. And they're normal. You know, if we can just kind of like get into our head that, you know, these emotions are normal and they're God given. And so to kind of help to not get into that darkest of dark place, but to keep pressing towards the light, we really have to keep bringing all that we have and all that we are to the feet of Jesus.
Hey everyone, if you're new to our show, you might not know that this podcast is part of our ministry's Splendor magazine. Splendor is a biannual Christian women's magazine, but our focus doesn't just center around a certain niche as other Christian women's magazines might, but the content centers around the different passions that women have in order to help encourage, empower, and equip women to use those passions to glorify God and to make disciples in their field. We have articles that range from home and living to business to The Deborah Woman, where we have a special interview with Mo Isom, and other articles such as our Hot Topic issues. This fall's Hot Topic issue is called How Today's Clay Rejects the Potter, and yes, we dive deeper into the conversation surrounding the controversial topic of transgenderism. What does the Bible say about it, and what should our response be as children of God? This article includes testimonials from multiple people and well-thought-out research that we hope will answer some of your questions in regard to this topic, especially as it pertains to how, no matter what, we ought to love others as Christ would first. This is a weighty topic, but one that we hope you will find at least some answers to. This is just one of many articles we have, and we want you to know that you are an integral part of the body of Christ, and you have gifts and talents that God wants you to use to help be a part of His will to advance His kingdom. We feel certain that when you read our magazine, you will find content that will empower you to finally pursue God's calling for your life. Pre-orders are available now for our fall issue, and you can use code DIS10, that's DIS10, at checkout to get 10% off your order. Or you can subscribe to our biannual subscription to get the best price and ensure you never miss a copy of our magazine. Go to splendormag.com/shop, that's SPLENDEUR, mag.com/shop to purchase your copy today. Don't forget your discount code. Now, let's get back to our conversation with Natasha. I think like it for some people it might seem like the Sunday school Bible answer, you know.
I know, right?
But it's like true. It's so simple. It's just like that. And I think that I guess I'm speaking more for myself, but it's a lot of times when we are struggling that we don't even know how to really be honest with God, when we are you have a whole chapter that kind of goes on unanswered prayers. And I think that sometimes we don't even sometimes trust God with our emotions because we feel as though he hasn't answered our prayers or they haven't come to fruition yet. But you give some wonderful advice in terms of the topic with unanswered prayers and what that looks like. And so could you give some advice to someone who has unanswered prayers now as it maybe pertains to someone who has lost a loved one that they prayed for God to heal? That's specifically,
Yes. First, with this question, I want to say, you know, it can be excruciating, like just hard, like hard, you know, when it comes to prayers that seem to be unanswered, because we can feel alone and we can feel abandoned by God himself. And so it is a hard time. So when I'm answering this, I don't want to make it sound like this is so simple to do, because it's not. It's a hard thing. Because the space, you know, the space of unanswered prayers is like a crushing. Mm-hmm. And I kind of described that in that in the chapter on unanswered prayers, using Jesus as our example, him in praying in the garden and him, you know, asking God, you know, if it be your will, you know, can you take this away from me? Can you remove this cup? And so this place of crushing is also a place where God meets us.
Yeah.
And so it's a hard place.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to like, just kind of beep, boop, like kind of skip through this. Like it's not easy because like, it's easy because it's not easy, but because some things we will never understand. So we come back to that trust factor that you mentioned a few minutes ago, trusting God, the one who does understand, he does have the full picture of all things. And so even when, you know, it seems like our prayers have gone unanswered, we have to trust that in God's will, in his plan, in his overall plan, he knows what he's doing. So it's so hard, but
Yeah, I think as a people, as a sinful, finite person, people group, we want to be able to have a clear answer that's answered in this lifetime, especially. And you were mentioning something in terms of with those who are going through grieving, it can be really excruciating. And I love that you talked about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, because we don't really often talk about how Jesus sweat blood, you know, and that I can imagine would be excruciating, and also just that he's grieving over what needs to happen. And I mean, he experienced every emotion. And so I can also imagine that he experienced fear into going into this. And even though, I mean, if his prayer was answered, we would not have salvation in Jesus Christ right now. And so even though, to just piggyback off of you, I think even though that there are some unanswered prayers that are extremely hard, that there's, it's just like what Joseph said, is like what you meant for evil, God meant for good, and that we have to trust in that. And speaking of good, there is, you mentioned too in the book that there is good grief. I have never heard of grief as good. So do you mind expounding on that a little bit? And then what does it look like, and how can we ensure that when we grieve, it is good?
Yeah. So good grief is definitely a play on words, but it is the believing that there is, you know, that we can have beauty that comes from grief, like that beauty from ashes, and in ways that we couldn't imagine. So like for me in particular, you know, I have more empathy. I'm more patient. I'm more compassionate. I have a soft heart for anyone who is hurting, you know, or grieving. And so it enlarges our capacity for love. I mean, so those are the good things that come from it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So again, I don't speak these lightly, because every horrible thing that happens to us, you know, doesn't have to be a life lesson.
Right.
You know, and just having sat in grief for 30 plus years, it's taken me a long time to even say that, you know, there is good that can come from it, because it's been such hard places. But good grief looks like, and I can't remember the verses, but when God turns our mourning to dancing. Mm-hmm. That's what it looks like, you know, and when God turns the tears that we've sown into joy.
Yeah. I guess like expounding on that too, you mention in your book that there is a part, it says, Isaiah declares grief as a year of the Lord's favor, and in some translations as his grace. And I think that's like a really good way to kind of segue into that. And like, how can we look at our grief and see it as the Lord's favor, as something good? Like it kind of ties into what you were just saying, but I can never really see grief as like his favor for me.
I know, it's so weird. And because even for me, when I thought about favor. And when I would hear it, like in church or just in conversation, it was always associated with, you know, God giving us favor for a new job or favor to get approved or the promotion. You know, it's like something that is deemed like good, you know, or even attached to something worldly or material. But I believe, you know, I sat with another author and we were chatting about suffering and how suffering comes with a territory. So that was kind of like our topic or talking through it. And so when we think of suffering, we think of pain, we think of grief, that, you know, it's a part of life. It's kind of a hard pill to swallow because of our culture. And, you know, it's a life, you know, we are made to think that our life is, should be in a life without any semblance of pain, discomfort, and even death, but it's simply not the case. And it's really not biblical either. Even in the life of Christ followers. So grief here as declared as the year of the Lord's favor, I believe is kind of declaring this greater knowledge that we can have with the Lord in this journey of grief, like as we allow God to kind of show himself through our pain. But it's a choice. I mean, it's hard.
Yeah, totally.
And it's hard to think of it that way, but it's almost, I think again of this scripture, you know, I want to know him. I mean, I want to know God and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. You know, it's those verses that are like, oh, that sound good, but in lived out, ooh.
Yeah. Do you know what I love best about being a part of an online community? I get to meet some pretty incredible people who have done some pretty incredible things. Take my new friend Alicia Hamilton, for example. She recently wrote a new devotional called Eternity in Our Hearts, which was published by Hosanna Revival. Eternity in Our Hearts leads readers to discover the literary masterpiece, timeless truths, upside down kingdom wisdom, and eternal perspective of Ecclesiastes. This 7-week study walks readers through every verse of Ecclesiastes, weaving in passages from all across the Bible as it traces major themes through the whole of Scripture. Author Alicia Hamilton has asked the hard questions of Ecclesiastes and brings real answers to the table. This study tackles tricky passages from all angles and holds each verse up to the light to show its beauty, piercing perspective, and impact for our lives. Each day features devotional readings, reflective journaling questions, and reading activities. We hope that through this study, you will find rest for your soul, peace in your circumstances, and an eternal perspective that frees you to live with unbridled joy. Alicia's prayer is that you will draw a fresh breath of the Spirit as you experience again and again that your Savior is gentle and lowly in heart and encounter the mysterious, wise majesty of our Father. You can purchase it today at hosannarevival.com/pages/devotionals, and you'll find her book, Eternity in Our Hearts, there. For small groups, download the free Leader's Guide and purchase 10 or more to get $5 off per book. Make sure to go to the direct link in our show notes to find exactly what you need. Again, that's Hosanna Revival, H-O-S-A-N-N-A Revival.com/pages/devotionals to start shopping today. Now let's get back to our conversation with Natasha. You reminded me of what you shared too, of like there also tends to be people who want to blame God for the loss that they are grieving, and but you declare, which is, it is biblical, it's true, it's like this is sin's fault, this is not his, it's because of the fall that we experience death, we experience injustice and experience so much pain and suffering, as you mentioned, it's of no fault of God's, and that we just have two responses when it comes to our grief. Do we lean in and push forward more to God, or do we allow that to distract ourselves and blame God and allow ourselves to be hurt and angry and kind of wallow in that? And kind of on that note is like, there are a lot of people who say that this isn't fair. And that's kind of a statement that I think that I have, you know, said to the Lord on numerous occasions, and cried out to him and saying that, But even outside of the stereotypical type of grief we may experience, life just doesn't seem fair to us a lot of the time. So what is your response to someone who may experience an unexpected loss specifically and say, this isn't fair?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I say, you're absolutely right. It isn't fair. And unfortunately, life isn't fair. Mm. I totally believe this to be true. You know, life is hard and it can be extremely brutal sometimes. Mm. I just remember when my aunt and baby cousin were killed in a head-on collision,
yeah.
I literally from my lips said, this world, this seems like a sick world. Like, yeah. Like, is this, you know, I mean, I was like, in shock, like, this is unbelievable. Mm. Like, this world is just dark, sick. Mm. I hate this yeah. world.
Oh gosh, preaching.
So life can be hard. It can be super, super brutal.
Yeah.
But it brings to light that our world is broken. Mm-hmm. It brings to light that surely it's not the world that God had intended, that it is not our home.
Right.
And yet because of sin, that word again, we live in this world, mm-hmm. this broken world that was never intended for us. So no, it's not fair. And I, you know, and so it's like, those are the places that you sit with those people who are hurting and grieving, yeah. and feeling like this is not fair. You're absolutely right. Mm. So affirming them and being a witness to their hurt and pain during those times.
Yeah, no, and I'm glad you mentioned that because I think because as you mentioned, like early on this episode, you were sharing that it's kind of been taboo for a long time to talk about grief or mental health in a way. And so because of that, and specifically, I think even in the church, even though we are taught to grieve and mourn with those who mourn, we don't really know what that looks like, even though there are like clear examples in the Bible of like mm-hmm. how we can. But I think within us, there's this hard discomfort, and maybe that's Satan, I don't know, or maybe it's our own social anxiety or norms that we're trying to fit into, mm-hmm. of just sitting with the friends that are grieving. But you give some really great applications for the friends as well, and of how they can better love those who are grieving in their lives. So do you mind sharing some of that, some of those ways, and that we can all kind of learn how to better love those who are grieving?
Mm-hmm. I think a huge part of kind of supporting those who are grieving is to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I feel like the book is super simple, but sometimes, you know, just living it out and doing it in real life can be hard, and prayerfully you'll find in the book that you're able to learn more practical ways in doing so. But listening is really, really underrated. And mm-hmm. I don't think there's actually a book that says Why Don't We Listen Better? Oh, but yeah. And that may be the thing, is that we don't know how to listen, and we yeah. don't know how to listen well. We don't know how to be still, you know. Mm. And so just ways of listening better include like not interjecting, you know, when someone is trying to really tell you their story and to tell you their heart and to tell you about their grief. And because oftentimes we do like to share our own story. Mm-hmm. You know, someone says, hey, look, you know, this happened. You know, that happened to me too. You're like, no. Calm down.
I don't need to hear that.
This is not your time to share.
Yeah.
But again, I think, you know, no one has really taught many of us to do how to do this and right. do this well. So again, it is my prayer that this, like when people are reading they have like these aha moments, like, oh, I've done that before. Mm. Oh, okay. I'm going to try not to do that next time.
Mm.
And so another thing is just leaning in to be more of an attentive, active listener, even using body language, maybe nodding your head, not from a sense of like, you know, not listening, but
yeah.
being able to listen with your heart, like so that you kind of catch their spirit and you're able to literally, you know, kind of mourn with them, like you empathize with them, you're showing compassion.
Do you think that there are people who maybe are grieving that don't really even know how to accept even that? Like, is there some ways, which you do mention in the book, but on the flip side of that, like, are there some ways of those who are grieving that can express how they can share with the friends of like what they specifically need in that moment?
Yeah, I do have a few examples in the book. Sometimes it's so hard because I know like at the in like fresh grief, you still don't have language to kind of express what's going on. So I'm hoping that those little short examples are helpful to those who are not finding the words at the moment. But something as simply as, if someone were to ask like, hey, you know, is there something I can do for you? Maybe they could just say, right now I just need someone to sit with me, or right now I just need someone to listen, or I just need someone to be here with me.
Mm. Yeah.
Like presence, like our presence again is another one of those things that is underrated, you know, just literally sitting in quiet.
Yeah. Yeah.
As I cry.
Mm. Yeah.
Or bend that shoulder as I cry, you know?
Mm. Yeah. I think I know that I am feel very alone a lot of the time in terms of with my own grief, but I don't want to burden my friends when I'm going through something like that. And it actually just happened to me recently where I was like, especially we didn't really talk about this, but there is kind of a moment where sometimes if you push down grieve, like if you don't grieve, it'll just kind of come out at some point. And that happened to me a few weeks ago. And I was like, so shocked. I was like, I am cried in public at church. I need to go. And my friends are like, do you need a hug? And I was like, no, I need to get out of here. But that was one of the things like I should have accept. I don't know what I should or should not have done, but I couldn't accept their love and care in that way, because I didn't want them to see me in that way. And I was kind of embarrassed too, that I was like, just crying in church. And I think, you know, hopefully this book has helped me so much. I actually finished it like the same week that meltdown happened and everything. And so I was like, it's been really good and informative for myself as well, and going through these different types of grief that we all go through, and learning like how to better accept love from friends when we've been taught like not to talk about it, you know?
Right. That's hard because I've been there. So I have a sense of what you're experiencing of not wanting to feel like you're a burden, but you're not. Mm-hmm. It's like these thinking, inner thinkings or self-talk that, you know, that we're dealing with within ourselves.
Mm. Yeah. So I would just want to thank you again for writing this book and obeying God's calling to write this book. And so, well, before I go into the last question, was there anything else that you just kind of wanted to share? Any questions that I might have kind of forgot to ask you that you wanted our listeners to know?
No, I think it's been so great.
Okay.
You've done an awesome job. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Well, going on to the last question, our podcast is called Dress in Splendor, and it's based off of the verse, Luke 12:27, saying that, and with this podcast, our desire is to share testimonies from men and women in different fields to kind of share with women, more specifically, who listen to this podcast, and how they can trust God in their everyday lives, especially if they feel called by God to do something, and to not worry and just live day to day by obeying God, trusting in Him, and like I said, not worry about tomorrow. So in the context of this conversation that we've had, what is some advice that you would give to someone and how they can be dressed in splendor?
Mm-hmm. I love this question and just in thinking, kind of trying to think through it. My first thoughts is it always seems so simple. It always seems so simple to stay near to God, you know, to stay near to God and to draw near to Him, because especially as we grieve, and of course, He will be near to us, as the Bible says.
Yeah.
And then sitting at His feet and bringing it all to Him. And then reminding ourselves every day reminding ourselves of everything that we know about God.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the verse is, but I know it's in the Message translation. So it's like, you know, when my heart was in the dumps, I remember everything I know of you. And so really just reminding ourselves of who God is and his character, how he cares for us. He's our comforter. He's our peace. And he's a very present help in time of trouble, and that he's with us. And so just reminding ourselves of who God is, that he's for us and not against us, those type of things, almost like affirmations, but affirming the truth of God's word.
Yeah. That's so good. Well, like I said, thank you so much for joining the show. I'm so thrilled to have had you on, and I cannot wait for your book to come out, but it comes out September 26th. So where can people pre-order your book, and where can they follow you also?
Yes, thank you so much. So you can pre-order Can You Just Sit With Me on Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, anywhere, everywhere books are sold, you can pre-order. And you can find me anywhere across social media at I'm Natasha Smith.
All right. And that will be all in our show notes as well, listeners. So make sure that you pre-order this copy. I promise you will not regret it. Natasha, thank you so much for joining the show.
Thank you so much, Lydia.
And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll catch you next time. Don't you think Natasha was just so sweet? As I mentioned earlier, her book really helped me to learn how to grieve my own personal losses, and I truly believe that this book can help others who experience different kinds of grief as well. Her book is coming out soon, but you can pre-order it now at the link in our bio. If you think that this conversation might be a blessing for someone in your life, please share. Our hope is to help others feel encouraged and learn how to be dressed in grander splendor than the wildflowers of the field. Make sure to rate and review wherever you listen to podcasts, and follow us on Instagram at Dressed in Splendor to know when our next episode drops. And if you want to give me a follow where you can find encouraging and the occasional silly content, you can find me on Instagram at The Lydia Summer. The music of the Dressed in Splendor podcast was produced by Jael Arekasi. Find him on Instagram at Sound of Pastel Kid for more of his work. That's Sound of Pastel, P-A-S-T-E-L Kid. Lastly, thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. May you be blessed as you continue on in your day, and may God be glorified through your work.